Good morning. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. We've come to this, the length of the season. It's not over yet. Don't get too excited yet. It's not over yet. We've still got work to do. But the message we get today is this message of redemption. Old Testament, New Testament, Gospel. The readings we get today are stories of redemption. And it's not about the redemption of somebody else. It's about the redemption of you and me, of God's creation of humanity, the love of His life. That we are so important to Him that He's willing to go to whatever lengths are necessary to redeem us, to bring us into His family, to spend eternity with us. The gospel this morning is one that I love. I love the story of Lazarus. I find myself so often when at funerals that becomes one of the readings that is used. Families go, oh, well, that's a good story about death. Can you put that one in the liturgy? It is a story about death, but ultimately it's a story about life. But let's live through this story for just a minute, this story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and Jesus. And we hear that Lazarus has fallen ill. In the beginning of the story, Lazarus is not dead. Lazarus is alive, but he has fallen ill. And Mary and Martha send word to their good friend Jesus, who they believe in, who they've seen the miracles that he's done. And they send word to him and they say, please come, your friend Lazarus is dying. And Jesus gets the word and he says, and this is important to grab. It says in the gospel readings that Jesus says, let's wait a little while. Now, some of us might look at that and go, that's not the God I want to worship. That's not the God I want to love. I don't want a God that's going to wait a little while when I reach out to him. I need him now. I need help now. I don't want to wait a little while. Jesus says, let's wait a little while. 2 days. I mean, not a few hours, not until I get done with what I'm doing. 2 days have passed. And then he says to his disciples, okay, let us go back to Judea. Let us travel back. Let us go do what it is that we need to do. And they get there, and I gave Father Mike the instruction this morning. I very rarely ever give this instruction on any of the readings. I said, you can do the short version today. The long version was about 3 more pages, just so y'all know, which means I get all that time. I'm going to take back my time from those readings. First, Martha comes out to greet Jesus, kind of. She comes out to get mad at him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I'm going to say to you right now, that statement is an act of faith. She believed enough in Jesus that if he had been there, she knew Lazarus would have been healed. Nonetheless, she's mad. Her brother is dead. And maybe you've been in that situation before. Maybe you've been in a situation where you've been praying, Lord, take this thing from me. Heal me. Make me whole. Take away this infliction, whatever's going on. And God doesn't show up quite when you want him to. And you get mad. It's okay. God can handle your anger. He doesn't want you to be mad at him, but he can handle your anger. He's big enough. He can handle that. I had a friend who used to have a statement. He said, God is never early, never late, but always on time. God shows up when God, in his plan, shows up because it has the impact it needs to have for whatever the cause and purpose of what's going on is. And we may not ever understand in this life what that cause and purpose is. But we know in Scripture, example after example after example, where God showed up in the timing that was necessary for the purpose that was at hand. Martha gets through telling Jesus how upset she is with him because he has lingered. He tells her, don't you know that he will rise? I know, Lord, I've read. Did y'all notice the first reading this morning from the book of Ezekiel? Saying the dead will rise? It's not just a New Testament message. That's a Bible message. That's a front, back, and middle message. I know, Lord, that on the last day, somewhere down the road, when I'll be dead too, I get all that, but right now I'm hurting. Right now I'm grieving. Right now my world is in disarray. Don't you understand, Lord, what's going on? I need you now, and I needed you actually a couple of days ago. Now let's make the story a little deeper. It was within the tradition of the Jews that when someone died, the spirit would linger for about 3 days. So the grieving or process, what we would call a wake, would last for 3 days, and the fourth day they'd go, okay, They're really dead. They're really gone. All hope is lost. We thought they were dead. Now we know that we know that we know that we know. They're gone. Now it's time to move on. It's time to start healing with our life. This is when Jesus showed up. When everybody already knew that they knew that they knew that Lazarus was dead, including Mary and Martha, his sisters. Now, let's also remember that Martha was the one who was easily agitated. Remember the story earlier in the Gospels where Mary and Martha, Jesus shows up at their house and Mary is just sitting at his feet listening to every word that comes out of his mouth, and Martha's busy fixing things, that snacks to eat, and she goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, would you tell my sister to help me? I mean, she's sitting around doing nothing. Look at what I'm doing. I'm giving you the gift of hospitality. Surely you appreciate it. Can you help her appreciate it and get her in the kitchen and help me?" Martha seemed to be the one that was a little more in tune with the depth of the spiritual nature of Jesus. So Martha has finished her complaining, and now here comes Mary. It's her turn. It is as though Martha hasn't said a word. Mary comes out with the exact same argument. "How dare you be late? Who do you think you are? I mean, I know you're the Messiah, but we called for you. Lord, I know you're Lord. I know you died on the cross to forgive my sins, but Lord, I called for you. Where were you? Why weren't you there? I needed you then more than I need you now. Right now, I'm just upset." Then you really could have solved the problem. Now I'm just upset. There's nothing else to solve. You can't make this better. What are you going to do, hug me? I like the response of Jesus in the Scriptures. He was perturbed. I'm going to tell you, I think there's a lot of times that me and God are having conversations, and I start talking a lot, and He gets perturbed. Because I get in the way. Maybe you don't ever do that to Him, but I do. He sometimes lets me know He's perturbed. Enough. But I got two more points. Enough. I got it. I know where you are. I knew where you were before you picked up the phone. I got it. Jesus is perturbed. And He simply asks a question that seems almost cold in the moment. "Tell me where you laid Him. Let's get to this. Just tell me where you laid Him." Now, I think that the statement that comes in this passage of Scripture is very similar to one that Father Mike shared with us in the homily from the first Sunday in Lent. Two of the greatest understatements found in Scripture. The first one Father Mike shared with us was, "And he was hungry after 40 days of fasting." You could have written a whole book about how he felt in his belly, I think, after 40 days of fasting. And this one, the sisters look at Jesus and go, whoa, we don't have to go there, do we? "Where have you laid him?" The King James Version of this passage says, "And they said to the Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. By now he must stinketh." I think that probably would be an understatement. It's an arid environment. They didn't prepare bodies the way we do today. It was not going to be a pretty scene. You don't want to go there. Trust me on this one, Lord. You don't want to go there. Yes, I do. He tells them to move the stone. And they move the stone. And I have a feeling that the people who had to move the stone probably went, "Do I really have to do this? I just put it in place. I mean, I thought we were done with this job." And the word of God spoke. "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man rose. And Lazarus comes out. And just like you and I who were bound in our sins, Lazarus was bound in the burial claws of death that revealed him as being lost. But he came out wrapped in those burial claws, and Jesus said, "Get those claws off of that man. He is no longer dead. He is alive. Free him of that which has held him bondage for the last 4 days. They don't belong on him anymore. This man is alive." The scriptures go on to tell us later on in the same gospel reading that because of this miraculous resurrection that has taken place, that the Jews began to want to kill Lazarus just like they wanted to kill Jesus, because he was evidence of the glory of God. He was evidence that Christ was the Messiah. There might have been a point where Lazarus said, "Could I just stay there? I mean, did we have to start this life thing all over again? I mean, I was ready for eternal life. I was already ready for the other side, and here I am back again in this." The story of Scripture from beginning to end is a story of redemption. A story of taking that which is lost and bringing it back to life. A story of taking that which was found in the dark and bringing it into the light of day. Jesus came to redeem the world, to claim you and I for the value He placed in us before the day of our birth, but yet in the time of creation, that He put such a high value on us that He was not willing to lose us for any cost. And what is said about the story of Lazarus in the grave, why in the world did this come to pass, much like the gospel reading we had last week, where the man regained his sight and everyone asked, why is he blind? Was it because of his sin or his parents' sin? Or whose fault was it? We want someone to blame. And Jesus said last week in our gospel reading, it was so that you might believe. And the same is made true in the story of Lazarus as Jesus begins to pray to the Father. And he says, "Lord, Father, I pray this, that they might believe." The journey of Lent for us is giving up of the things that bring us to unbelief, giving up of the things that bring us to death in the Spirit, to giving up of the things that separate us from the love of God, and embracing the fullness of what He's called us to in this life. Because this life is what takes us on the journey to everlasting life. God has called us to life. He hasn't called us to death. He hasn't called us to suffering. But there are times in this life that we are going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to go through difficult times. And we may not understand the why, but God has a plan that is bigger than our understanding. We hear in Scripture that God's ways are higher and above our ways. That the wisdom of man is the foolishness of God. May we surrender our understanding to God's understandings. May we embrace that His plan for us is everlasting life that can never truly be understood at the depth of it in this life. And we come to embrace the love He has for each and every one of us as we journey closer and closer to the day of our redemption, to the celebration of Easter. Amen.